Well, it is a blessing to have Brother and Mrs. Kruchko with us, and they have a display in the lobby there. If you have not been by there yet, I want to encourage you after the service, make sure you go by there and talk with them, and make sure you get one of their prayer cards, be praying for them as well. I did just check. It has been 20 years. We started supporting you in 2006. It's been 20 years that we've been supporting the Kruchkos there, and they were even missionaries even before going to Mongolia. But I think our church has had the privilege of just supporting them since they've been in Mongolia. And so, brother, you come right ahead, and I'm just going to kind of turn it over to you. I know you can introduce your wife and ministry. I know there's a video and whatever you'd like to do tonight.
Thank you.
Amen. Bless you. Make sure you turn that on.
I'm doing three things at one time here. Excuse me. They told me I had to turn this thing on. How's that? I got a thumbs up. I'm good. Amen. It's good to be with you. 2006. Wow. That was a transition year for us. We were transitioning from the Philippines to Mongolia. We had been in the Philippines prior to that. We had a print shop there. We were printing Bibles and tracts and things like that over in the Philippines. And we had a large print shop. I think there was 102 people that worked in the print shop, that type of thing. And we got a call. We were home. They were expecting a typhoon to come in. And so I said, well, how much water are they expecting? He said, oh, they said 6 to 8 inches. Okay, just raise everything up a foot. We're good. Except we got 17 feet over of water. So it just destroyed everything completely. Took out the print shop, 100% loss. So we went back in 2004. And we went back there and went to the other side of the island from Manila to Legazpi, what they call a village. It's still 1 million-plus people, but they call it a village. And we were getting ready to set up there, really excited about it. I come home to get my family and head back over there, and the Mayun volcano went off and buried the city. And the only thing left of the four-story building was about that much of the roof. And so as we're sitting at home, and I'm thinking a typhoon, a volcano, you know, maybe the Philippines isn't the place I ought to be. By the way, I've never been back there since then. And within a couple weeks after that is when Mongolia opened up, and the Lord provided a way for us to get into Mongolia, and we've been there ever since, and very happy with it. You know, I was a little disillusioned when I got there because the Philippines, it's the same time zone, it's the same continent, right? A good cold day in February in the Philippines is 73 degrees, right? A good warm day in Mongolia in February is minus 45. So I was a little off there, you know? But I like the cold, so it worked out quite well for us. But I want to I appreciate very much your support over the years, and we love this church, and we've known about it. We've watched it. I was telling the pastor, I seen on his Facebook about the chair, so I even knew they were here before some of y'all did. So, but we've been in Mongolia now for 18 years, and when we got there, we had everything we needed except a building, and so for the next 16 years, we played, moved from this building to this building to another building, and borrowing another missionary's buildings one after another, and if you do that very long, you realize that's hard to do when your press weighs 12,000 pounds. You just don't pick it up and carry it down the street, you know. So it began taxing us. We began working back in 2018 towards the building. Partway into that process, we found out the building we were trying to purchase could not be sold, or at least not to us, I should say. It had had multiple loans taken out in different countries, and that made it impossible for us to know whether there was a clear title, and there wasn't, by the way. And so we switched gears. We found a building on the other side of the capital that just suits us fine. It had been set there empty for 8 years in the extreme cold and the dirt of Mongolia, and so everything was run down. There was no water. There never was water in the building. The electric was spotty. Things were just falling apart. Roof had no insulation, and when the roof's only that thick and it's 45 degrees outside, you're not going to, 45 below, you're not going to heat the inside because it's going out the roof faster and it's coming into the building. So we had to change a lot of things around. I want to show the video to show you where we're at right now on the building, and then I'll come back and explain a little bit more of what we're doing with that building, and then we'll go on from there, okay? You guys got that right?
Time the harvest will be over. Father's taken home. Record our word.
The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.
Our golden harvest today is given us lost souls to win, for them to save some dear ones from the burning. Today we'll go to bring some sinner in. How many times I should have strongly pleaded. How often did I feel too strictly worn? The Spirit moved. Oh, had I bled for Jesus? The grain is all in lost ones, not before. The harvest white with reapers few is wasting, and many souls will die and never know the love of Christ, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, let us weep and love and pray and mourn today.
Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give her shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give her shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life.
Today we'll go to bring some sinner in.
Friend, are you ready for your journey's my offering. Send me with a willing heart. Bless me with your grace. Touch my soul that I may love purely all my days. The Savior's way. May I serve your precious ones and guide them to the fold. Faithful till my work is done, then bring me safely my feet along the path of virtue where he stood. Use my hands to bless and heal and touch each life for good as the Savior would.
There's a verse in the Bible that describes Mongolia very well. It says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Mongolia needs God's word. In our stairwell, we have this 700-piece map of Mongolia. Each piece represents $1,000 that has been donated to the ministry. And on each piece is the name of the person, the church, or the company that has donated that money. It reminds us to pray for those that are helping to spread the gospel to these forgotten people in Mongolia. Thank you for your help. We'd like to give a thanks to all those young people that helped us make this possible. What a great bunch of workers. What a great bunch of Christians. Thank you. A special thanks to Tukso and Bill Gay. They're not just workers. They're our partners, and they're our friends. God has blessed us greatly with this couple. Thank you, thank you, and thank you. We'd like to take this time to thank each one of you that have given money to make this project possible. Spreading the gospel in Mongolia is in big part because of your sacrificial giving. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you.
Well, that's where we're at right now with the building. And where we're at, if you don't know what we're doing in Mongolia, this is what we're doing right here. In 2017, the Lord allowed us to print this. This is the first time the Bible's ever been printed in the country of Mongolia right there. You're looking at the first one off the press. That's the first time in the history of the world that the Bible's ever printed in Mongolia. It took them 10 years to get the translation of the New Testament completed. The Old Testament right now is slated to be finished next summer. In fact, the translation team will be leaving next week, heading back to Mongolia. They'll be in our apartment in the building. They'll be taking up all the apartments. There'll be a man from Trinitarian Bible Society in London, England, will be there. Bill and Marcy Patterson, they're the ones that headed up. They'll be there coming in from Houston or Fort Worth, Texas. And then the three translators are the Mongolians. They'll all be in the building. They'll spend the next two and a half weeks working on the Old Testament, make sure everything's right, going in the right direction. And they're telling me they'll be finished next summer with it. So next summer, we want to be able to print this in Mongolian. That's what we're working on right now, is making sure our equipment is in the position to do this. It's not like somebody can just hand you a manuscript and say, okay, we're ready to go. We have to be prepared for it. We got to make sure. We found out we couldn't get Bible paper in the country of Mongolia. It didn't exist there, so we had to get it from China. The only way China would sell it to us is if we bought a 40-foot container full. Now, I'm hoping someday to use a 40-foot container full, but right now I don't need a 40-foot container, nor can I afford a 40-foot container full of paper. And so we talked to a young man that we've been doing business for a lot of years with over in Mongolia. His name is Bot, and Bot does import-export business, that type of thing. And so he found that he could pick up a skid of it in China and piggyback on with a load of paper that he was getting from there anyways. And so we were able to get just one skid. And when I say one skid, it's a huge skid anyways. It's very, very large. And so when we get back this time, we're going to be working on this right here. Now, we're not going to print the whole Bible because we don't have it yet. But we're going to print a journal that looks like this. Because if I can print a journal, all I got to do is change the plates and I can print a Bible. And so we want to make sure that we're ready for it, and we're ready to go. By the way, we're heading back May the 5th. We have our tickets. We're ready to go. As you can see on the building, we're still building as we go. Amen. We're not done yet. Eventually, we're going to put a third floor. That building, when it was originally constructed, it was designed to have a third floor on it. It never got around to putting the third floor on it. And so we're going to need to do that because we'll run out of room real, real quick with the building. We're already starting to run out of room with it. So, but we want to put that on the back burner so that we can get the Word of God going. Our country is a different kind of country. You know, you walk up and down the streets of America, and just about everybody has a Bible. And if they don't have one, it's because they don't want one. They can get one. You go to Walmart and get a Bible. You can't do that in Mongolia. 98 out of every 100 people you pass will have no idea who the Lord Jesus Christ is. They don't know what a Bible is. They've never seen one. But yet they want one. We had one of our translation ladies, she was riding in a taxi. And when she got in, she knew right away that the driver was a shaman because his drums were right next to her. And they have a very distinctive set of drums that they carry with them. And they have a very distinctive sound. And as they're driving, he said to her, he's talking to her, and he said, I am shaman priest. If you'd ask me, I would bless you. And she immediately said, no, I am Christian. If you'd ask me, I'd give you eternal life. Well, he pulled the car over and turned around and looked at her and said, tell me about this eternal life. I'm interested, you know. And so she opened the Bible and showed him out of this Bible right here how he can know for sure he's going to heaven and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. And then he came to our compound. We were able to give him a New Testament. Man, I'm telling you what, Mongolians are not real smiley people. This guy had a smile from ear to ear. I mean, he was so excited that he couldn't stand it, you know. And so God's good. This is desperately needed in Mongolia. I'm going to show you just a couple things, and then if you have any questions, I will take a few of them. I'm glad you got a clock back there. I was looking for it, you know. I was in a church in Ohio, and their screen was a little bit bigger than that back there. And when I stood up, the whole screen became a clock. And I said, what are you trying to tell me? You know, I got it. Be done on time. I figured that out on my own. You know, so I'm glad yours is a little bit smaller, but I'm glad you have one. The last church I was in didn't have a clock anywhere, and I don't know what time it was. I just kept going until the preachers fell asleep, and then I went home. You know, it is good. I want to show you something. One of the reasons Mongolia is dear to me, is that picture right there. Now that's just a little boy trying to pick daddy up off the street. It's winter. It's not desperately cold yet, but it's cold out. And he's trying to get daddy home before he freezes to death. You say, well, what's that got to do with you? Well, my last name is Kruchko, and it's obviously not an Ohio name. Amen. It's a Russian name. My grandparents were born in Russia. And back in the early 1900s, my great-grandfather got fed up with Russia and decided to move his family. He had three choices: United States, Canada, Mongolia. Mongolia was one of his choices because Mongolia borders Siberia. And so my grandfather was able to take a stagecoach and a wagon, and he went to Mongolia. I've stood on the mountain where he stood. And he looked it over, and he changed his mind, decided Mongolia wasn't a good fit for his family. And he came to Quantico-See, Michigan. If you want to know where that is, look it up on the map. It's just a little hole-in-the-wall place in Michigan. They were all Russians that lived there and probably still are. And that's where my dad grew up. At age 28, my father accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. First Kruchko in history to accept Jesus as his Savior. Now there's a bunch of them, you know. It's because of one man's decision over 100 years ago that I'm here today. If it wasn't for that decision, he had decided to go to Mongolia, that'd be me. Our family, Russians, I probably don't have to tell you this, Russians are good at two things, fighting and drinking. And my dad was exceptionally good at both of them, you know? And so that was us. If it wasn't for his decision, and he wasn't a Christian, by the way, but he made the right decision. God's hand was in it. I say that to you because there's decisions that you make on a daily basis that may never affect you, but it could affect your great-grandkids tremendously. You know, you can probably get away with skipping church and going fishing, but how's that going to affect your great-grandkids or your grandkids? Not in a good way, I can tell you that. Not in a good way at all. So you need to think about your decisions that you're making, not just for you and not just for your wallet, but think about what will they do for your family. Pray for us as we go back. We no longer have a long-term visa thanks to COVID. COVID broke out, and we were fortunate enough to be in America when that happened. If we'd been in Mongolia, it would have shut down completely. It's a whole different world over there. But we were here, and it came time to renew our visa. Well, we couldn't be in Mongolia to renew it because you couldn't get into the country. There was no way in. But that didn't matter to them. We just weren't there, so therefore we lost our long-term visa. So we are working off what's called a tourist visa. I can stay 90 days at a time. But with what we're doing and trying to get money and the building and getting prepared for the Bible, that works for us right now. That works. I can change that down the road. Hopefully, we'll be able to change it out to something a little more longer term. Of course, at my age, I don't know how much longer term I want to change it to. But anyways, God's good to us. And here's what my plan is for Mongolia. Get the third floor finished. Get the Bible printed. And I'm looking for a young couple that will come work with us that we can turn it over to them. That's what I'm looking for. I'm praying for that. Because the worst thing that could happen is to go through all of this. We've been here 18 years. We've put in a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. And I don't want to see it die just because I got old. Amen? And so you pray for us as we head in that direction. We're still about, we've got our tickets covered. We've already purchased them. But we're still about $15,000 short on what we need to finish up. We're in the middle of building it's called a digital press room. Mongolia is the most polluted capital in the world. And so when you add the cold weather and the pollution to a digital press, it doesn't run right, okay? It messes them up. It tears up the bearings, the bushings, all those things. It just messes them up. So we're building a room specifically for the digital stuff. It'll have air purifiers in it, humidifiers because of the cold weather, the static. We have to have humidifiers. And so all of that's going into that room so that we can print the gospel literature for those folks that desperately need it. When you get a chance, just walk through the building sometime and look at everything that you have that's printed here. And we don't have any of that. If we haven't printed it, it's not there. It doesn't get imported. You know what it costs to import that into Mongolia? Every book you import costs $1 right off the bat. That doesn't count shipping, nothing else. That's just the taxes and duties. It's $1. So you just think about it. If you printed 50,000 Gospel of Johns and sent them to Mongolia, it costs $50,000 before they ever come out of the container. even before they're even shipped. So that's why it's so important to have a press there and have a working press. And it is working, even though we're here. It's Thursday morning there. It's working. They're working hard at it right now. And so you pray for them. They're actually working on a book of Dr. Chappell's right now that's in, they've translated into the Mongolian language, and we're working on printing that. So I'm forgetting something. What am I forgetting, Kim? Oh, yeah, that's right. I'll back up to about a year and a half ago and tell you what our journey's been, and then I'll tell you how the Lord's blessed through all of that. About a year and a half ago, my wife decided to go on life support for 6 days with congestive heart failure. We got to the hospital in Chelsea, Michigan, and they took her first, and then the second ambulance waited for me, and I got my daughter situated, and then we headed to the hospital and got there, and it was the strangest thing because the hospital was empty. There was nobody there. I mean, I walked in, and the lady looked at me and said, "Is that your wife?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Go in that room. Doctor wants to talk to you." That's not a good sign, you know? And so I sat in that room for about 30 minutes, and I thought, well, I'm not going to sit in here. So I started wandering around the halls, and I finally found her. Every doctor in the hospital was in one room, and it was her room. And later on, the doctor told me, he said, if you'd waited 15 more minutes, she wouldn't be here right now. It was very touch and go for those 6 days. And when she come out of she did several things. But one of the things she did is she looked right at the cardiologist and said, "Can I go to Mongolia now?" He said, "Well, if you can do what you just did, you can go anywhere you want to go." That's what he told her. And so we were able to get on a plane. Six weeks later, we were back in Mongolia. We landed in what's a desert. Mongolia's a desert. If they get a half-inch rain in 6 months, it's been a good year. But we landed, and it began to rain. And it rained almost every day for the next 3 months. It rained, and it was the biggest flood. They have no drainage. There's no such thing as drainage there. The streets become rivers, and Mongolia is a step back in time. Everybody has an outhouse, and every outhouse was floating downstream, you know? I mean, everybody's cars, outhouses, boats. There was no boats. They wish they had a boat. I mean, buses, houses were, they were just, it was the most traumatic thing on Mongolia that they had seen. Riverbeds that had been completely dry for the last several hundred years were all of a sudden flooded. And we come through that, and then we came back home because our fifth daughter was having her first baby and wanted mama there, and she went into preeclampsia. So we went to Columbus, Ohio, parked our camper in the parking lot of the hospital there, and she delivered a preemie baby girl. She's healthy, by the way. And in the process of that, my second oldest daughter, Gina, her husband was running his ATV through the woods down in Alabama, missed a turn and hit a tree, and was dead on the spot there. So I got that phone call. So I headed for Alabama, got down there, spent a week with them, and then off to Houston, Texas, where I had a missions conference, back up through St. Louis, and then back up to get Mama in Columbus, and then back home to Beckley, West Virginia. And we parked our camper in a driveway, and went in and just kind of breathed a sigh of relief. And the next day, Gina called me. That's the one whose husband just passed away. And she said, "Are you sitting down?" I said, "I am now." Dixie, our oldest daughter, had come home from work and lost feeling on one side of her body. And they rushed her in. 9 minutes later, she lost consciousness. And they went in and did brain surgery the following morning. So we got right back into the camper. We hadn't even unpacked it yet. And headed for Florida. Spent 12 days beside Dixie before she passed away and went home to be with the Lord. And we stayed then another week and a half and had the funeral and things like that. And got back home, and then we decided to go to Michigan for 2 days. I kind of, you know, felt like the Gilligan's Island, you know, the three-hour tour deal. We were up there for 8 weeks. We were going for 2 weeks, but while we were up there, my wife ended up going to the hospital with a 14-millimeter kidney stone. And then they told her, this is, I still don't understand this. They said, "You can't travel. You can't go home. But your insurance won't pay for it here, so you got to go to West Virginia. So which one is it? Are we going to West Virginia or are we staying here? Well, you can't travel, but your insurance, back and forth we went. We finally just went to West Virginia and got it over with. Amen. Got it taken care of. So it's been a long, long, long. But in the middle of that, we thought, man, what is going on? You know, are we in the wrong place? Are we doing wrong? What is going on? And we were in a missions conference in Fairfax, Virginia. And the pastor asked me, he said, would you speak to the men's prayer breakfast? I said, I will. I said, what do you want me to speak on? He said, whatever you want. Just tell them what your needs are. I said, okay. So we got there, and I began to speak to him. And I told him, I said, here's what we need. I said, we have a printing press in Mongolia. It'll do really, really good on this kind of work. In fact, this is what that was printed on. And this is the heavier paper. It does fantastic. But if you ask that 1979 press to print this kind of paper right here, it's going to wrinkle it every time. I know what it's going to do. I've been doing this for 50 years. I can tell you what it's going to do. And I said, right now there's a press in Mongolia for sale. It's a 2008 Heidelberg Speedmaster. It has everything we want it to do. And they want $35,000 for it. I tell you what, we got all the zeros. We need help with that 35. Amen? And I said, here's the advantages. I said, that press runs the right electric. Because they've had it there 5 years. I've seen it run. They've proved it. It runs perfect on their electric there. I said, and $35,000 is about $15,000 under what it's valued at. It's valued at about $50,000 right now. And then the big one is, in Mongolia, any equipment that you bring into the country, they have a 28% tax and duty right off the top. So all in all, that $35,000 press is worth about $70,000 if I had to import it and bring one in. And that's all I said, which is a mouthful. And so the next day, Sunday evening, the pastor was closing up, and they were getting ready to go next door to their gymnasium. They're going to have what they call a victory dinner. And he said, let's have a word of prayer. And he went to bow his head, and he stopped. And he looked at his secretary and said, we're going to do something we've never done here before. We're going to buy a printing press. And they went and got a check and wrote me a check for $35,000. God's not done yet. And then I went back. It was Sunday night, of course. That's Monday morning in Mongolia. And I called Tukso, my partner, and I'm holding this check up, okay? I'm FaceTiming. Well, $35,000, you know, the exchange rate's 3,481 to 1. So $35,000 is like a good meal at Burger King, you know what I'm saying? It just didn't impress him that much. So I said, wait a minute. So I wrote down 119 million tugrits. I held that up. That got his attention. His eyes got this big. He said, can I buy a printing press? I said, yes, please get out of bed and go buy a printing press. And so he got up and went over there. Not only did he buy it, he found a man there that was there that had been trained by Heidelberg. And he said, I will come in, I will take it down, I'll move it, set it up, make sure everything runs right for $600. Well, absolutely yes. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, the Lord not only provides, he's way ahead of us. I mean, I hadn't even thought how we're going to move that thing yet because I'm in America. Tukso's there, you know. But yet, there it was all provided. Well, 3 days later, that press was on our floor running. God's good. I'm telling you, God is so good. I can't even begin to explain how much we needed that press. So pray for us. I'm going to open it up for questions. If you have any, that includes my wife. If you have any questions, I'll answer them. And she reminds me. I'll have to tell you that story later. But. Anybody? Yes, sir. It just depends on, we haven't run that paper yet, so I don't know that answer. That press will run 13,000 an hour, sheets. So, I mean, it's a high-speed press. Now, on the lighter weight paper, I'm sure I'm not going to get that kind of speed out of it, but I'm going to get a lot more than I would off that old one. I can guarantee you that. So I'm not sure of the answer to that. Yeah, that's one of the things we're trying to work out this year when we're there, is to see what we got to do and how much it'll do, how much of the binding, what do we got to do, all of those things. I'm not sure of that even because with the manuscript not done, I don't know how many pages we're going to have yet. I could probably tell you on New Testaments, but that's a whole different world. And so as soon as I know the page count, then I can do all of those things. Another prayer request. Go ahead, I'll answer yours first. Are you guys hearing anything about We do some distributing, but most every missionary in the country knows who we are, because there's not that many of us, you know. And so it's a small community, and they know where to come get their literature. And they do. We print for them also, things like that. And so we've got a pretty good connection with people in that country. So. Right. Mongolian. And Mongolians are nomadic, so they'll find you. They'll search you out. They're real good at that. That's kind of their thing. One prayer request. We have a cutter over there that went down on us about a year ago. And it's all computerized. It's an older one. It's an 86 model, but it's in good shape. And it comes right down to one computer board. And that computer board's like $2,800. It's just this little dinky thing, you know. And it's crazy. But I was able to have Tuxo ship it to me. And I have a friend up in Michigan that builds computer boards for Ford's Motor Company. And so him and his buddy took this thing apart, and they found 12 or 13 different connections that weren't correct. So we're hoping that fixes it. So we're taking that back with us. And he was able to tell me a lot about the board. I didn't tell him what the board did. I just told him it was out of a cutter, you know. And he said, well, this has something to do with length. I said, yeah, this is the board that runs the back gauge to tell you when you set the number, this takes it to that number, the length. And so he was able to tell me all those things right off the bat. So he knew what he was doing. So just pray that this works. Otherwise, we're going to be cutting. No, we won't do that. We'll find a different way. But anybody else has any other questions? And then we'll just have a quick verse or two here. The population of Mongolia is a little over 3.5 million. That's the entire country. Mongolia is the 17th largest country landmass size in the world. It is the least densely populated country in the world. Now, of the 3.7 million, 1.7 million live in the capital. So almost half of the population live in the capital, right where we live. When you say the city, there's only one. It's real easy to find. And, you know, people say, well, I'm thinking about coming over. What airport do I fly into? There's only one. Take your pick. One's an easy number, you know. Just tell me what day you're coming and what time. I'll be there because I know where you're going. So, but they do. They desperately need God's word. By the way, the only thing that we border, if you know anything about the maps, is Russia to the north, China to the south. Between those three countries, Russia, Mongolia, and China, that's 24% of the world's population. That's over 1.8 billion people. So we're right in the heart of the folks that need the gospel the most. Are those people right there. 85% of them have never seen one page of God's word. So we're right where we belong, and God's a blessing, and we plan on staying until we can't stay no longer. Amen. Any other questions? All right, if you have your Bible, and I'm aware of what time it is, I can see that clock. Just turn over to Matthew chapter 28, and we'll only be a second. I'm only going to read two verses. And I'm almost sure that I did this before when I was here, but that was in the old building. And, you know, I don't think most of you are going to remember the old building. How many remember when I was here last time? Oh, I'm impressed. Okay, it had to be the beard. That's all I can say. Matthew chapter 28, we're going to just read the Great Commission, and I'm going to make a few comments, and then we'll be done. I love the Great Commission. This is probably some of my favorite verses in the entire Bible right here. But I'm going to do this, and if you were here last time, I think I did this, but I'm not sure. At my age, I'm not sure what I did yesterday. But We're going to go through this, and I'm going to read it. And what I want you to do is just make a mental note of what you think is the most important word or words in these two verses. Now, I know it's God's word, and I know they're all important. I got that. But which ones touch your heart the most? And then when we're done, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to show you which one I think is the most important. And by the way, my thinking and yours, you know, I'm not more important than you are. You might be right. I mean, we're all probably right. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to look at it, and hopefully I'll look at it from a little different perspective than you do. Amen? Now, just listen to this. Are you ready? Verse number 19 of Matthew chapter 28 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now, as I read that, did you get a word or words that just jumped off the pages to you? Now, as a missionary, the first one that jumps off the pages is go. You know, I mean, that one is just simple words, go. I'm pretty sure most of these teenage boys know what that word means. Go clean your room. Go mow the grass. You know, you got all those things down, right? Go. You know what's interesting? If you read the Bible, and I've read it, there's no place that says stop, sit down, and do nothing. It's not there. But go is all the way through the Bible. Now, I'm not talking about going to Mongolia or going to Africa or going to Russia or China or what. I mean, maybe it's just next door. Maybe it's just around town. Maybe it's to your family members. You know, that was my dad. When my dad got saved, his family needed the Lord Jesus Christ. My dad did a unique thing. He got saved on a Thursday night. The preacher had been waiting for him to come home from the bar. My dad was out drinking. And he was sitting in the driveway waiting for my dad to come home. And when my dad came home, the preacher was waiting on him. And my dad seen him and drove right around him and kept on going and down the road to a little roadside park and sat in there and flipped his seat back, an old 1958 Chevy, and lit a cigar up in the rain. And the preacher's outside the window preaching at him, and he's just ignoring him. And finally, the preacher said this to my dad. He said, "Jerry, if you want to go to hell, that's your right, but I'm not catching pneumonia for you." And my dad rolled the window down and said, "What'd you say?" So he repeated it. So my dad said, "Follow me." And he went back to the house, and they sat down. And about 4 o'clock in the morning, my dad accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior because the preacher wouldn't give up. The preacher wouldn't give up. The next day, my dad did something really unique. He called his brother Tom. He's the next younger boy. My dad's the oldest. He said, "Hey, Tom, why don't you and Sally and the kids, why don't you come to lunch Sunday?" He said, "Yeah, we'd love to." He says, "What time?" He said, 9 o'clock. He said, "Well, ain't that a little bit early for lunch?" He goes, "Oh, we're going to church first." And they both laughed. My dad had never been to a church. Neither one of them had ever been in a church in their entire life. Had no idea what that even meant. But my Uncle Tom showed up at 9 o'clock. My dad said, "Stay in the car, follow us." Off to church we went. Got in the church, third row back on this side. There was my Uncle Tom, my dad, my mom, my Aunt Sally, all the rest of us kids down the row, right? They were sitting there right there, and the preacher got on preach, and he stood up at the invitation. He said, "Now, if you want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, why don't you just step out in the aisle and come forward?" You know what my dad did? He moved over one place, boom, hit my Uncle Tom, knocked him right out in the aisle. Coolest thing you ever saw. Coolest thing, that's a Russian invitation. My Uncle Tom turned around just like that and looked at him. My dad said, "What are you going to do now, big boy?" My Uncle Tom looked at my dad, looked at the back door, and looked at the preacher. He thought the safest thing was to come see the preacher. He did. 10 minutes later, he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. You say, "That don't work." Well, he pastored for 40 years before he died. I'll ask him when I get to heaven. Amen? Go. It might be just to your brother. Who knows your family better than you do? You. Might be go. So that's the first word we see is go. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach." What are we teaching them? That's where you teach them about salvation. That's called soul winning. "Go therefore and teach all nations." That's languages. That's all around the world. You know, you can't take the gospel to the wrong place. Take it. Just take it. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them." Isn't that the first step into our Christian walk is baptism? "Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching." Well, wait a minute. We're already teaching. What's the second teaching? That's called discipleship. That's called discipling your convert. Now, I have 9 children. Pastor, you can back me up on this. You're probably going to know this too. Boys, you're going to want to pay attention because you're going to want to know this. This is really important. When you go to the hospital and you get married someday, you find a blind girl that doesn't realize what she's doing. You get married someday, okay? You're gonna go to the hospital, and she's about to deliver your first child, right? You guys can pay attention, too, because it'll affect you, too. And your wife has that baby, right? And now it's time to go home. They will make you take that baby home. Trust me on this one. Don't try and leave it behind. That's a bad move. Well, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. It is. Why do you have to take that baby home? Because it's your baby. Duh. I'm not lying, am I? Did you ever try it? Never mind. That's a bad joke. Is there any difference as a soul winner when you win some of the Lord? It's your baby. Well, what are we paying the pastor for? Not to raise your kids. Raise your own kids. I don't have time, but I could get into the Bible and show you where it is your responsibility. You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you, ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Why? That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. You be a soul winner and a disciple of God, said he'll answer your prayers. I don't know about you, but there's times in my life I need prayer. This past year and a half, there's been a lot of prayers that I've needed answered. There's a lot of them I need answered right now. Why do I do what I do? Because I need God on my side. Or let me rephrase it. I need to be on God's side. Amen? So, where was I at? Got sidetracked. Teaching them to observe all things. Now, those are all great words, but those ain't the words I came up with. I live in West Virginia. Amen? We're a little more simple than West Virginia. I'm going to read that again, and I'm going to emphasize the word that I came up with. It's in there twice. You ready? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. It's about them. Missions is all about people. It's the target of missions is not a plan or a program or strategy. It's about winning people to the Lord. I stand up here and tell you I need money for this, and I need money for this. I get so tired of telling people I need money. I really do. I wish I just had it and it was over with. I mean, I get so tired of that. But why do I do all that? Because they need this. Without this, they're not going to make it to heaven. But yet, if they don't get this, they're going to stand in front of God someday and be accountable for this. I don't think that's fair. I'm desperately trying to get God's word into their hands. And it's not just me. There's a whole team of us trying to do that. I wish you'd pray for us. Pray for Mongolia. Pray for our safety as we travel. Obviously, the climate around the world is changing rapidly and not so much in favor of Christianity. So you pray for us that we can get this Bible printed and get it in their hands to see many more souls saved. Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate your time.